Case 22-1590, Daniel Allen et al. Versus USA. Argument not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Carlson, you may proceed for the appellants.
Good afternoon, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Kevin Carlson. I represent the plaintiffs Dan and Kathy Allen. In this case, I've reserved 4 minutes of my argument time for rebuttal this afternoon. Your Honors, the relevant provisions of the Federal Power Act, specifically Section 10C of the statute, serves two functions. First, it preserves state law tort claims against licensees for damages caused by the activities taken by the licensee under the period of the license. And two, it disclaims liability on the part of the United States for the acts of the licensee. Our argument in this case is that the statute's liability shield does not bar claims against the government for its own acts of negligent entrustment, which arise separately from the construction, maintenance, or operation of the dam or the project works. And this court should therefore reverse the judgment of the district court granting dismissal to the government based on its sovereign immunity. Generally speaking, Your Honors, the United States federal government has waived its immunity from tort claims by enacting the Federal Tort Claims Act, which provides that the United States shall be liable in the same manner and to the same extent as a private individual under the circumstances. It is clearly established that because it's a remedial statute, the FTCA should be construed liberally and its exceptions should be read narrowly. And in this case,
the Supreme Court said that's particular to the FTCA. This statute, the Federal Power Act, preceded that, correct?
The Federal Power Act preceded the FTCA.
And there's no case saying the Federal Power Act's immunity provision should be read narrowly, is there?
Not specifically, Your Honor. And I think as we indicated in our briefs, this is a relatively new question. There's no case squarely interpreting
the immunity. Well, the Ninth Circuit addressed it.
In Skokomish, yes, Your Honor, but not under the facts presented where a dam that was initially constructed without a FERC license is then later operated under a license and the liability.
Can I ask you one? So the way I think of it, you should correct me where I'm wrong, but the way I think of immunity provisions is the government's trying to avoid paying cash, right? The government's trying to avoid its coffers being impugned, for lack of a better way of describing it. And what they're trying to prevent is damages. It has nothing to do with the cause of action angle, but rather with money flowing out. Because under your view, if Ohio had no negligent entrustment tort and Michigan had a negligent entrustment tort, you'd be able to recover in Michigan against the federal government, but not Ohio.
That would be true under any FTCA claim where the standard of liability or negligence or even the existence of a cause of action or the existence of a defense.
Sure, but that's not what you're saying is, I get that, but what you're saying is this immunity provision for damages doesn't apply because we've got something outside the scope of it, whereas the way I read the immunity provision, it's related solely to damages. The United States shall not be liable for damages, right?
Correct.
That's what it says for anything that comes within this. And what your argument is, well, no, because the government allowed Boyce to operate this thing, they're liable no matter what, in essence.
They're liable because the act of entrustment is what gives rise to the claim, not the act of construction or operation or maintenance. That's one of our arguments. The other argument is that because the project works and the works accessory or pertinent to the project works were not constructed under the license, then there is no immunity.
But what is the measure of the damages that you would be asking for the negligent entrustment claim?
Would it be
the exact same as if that you would get from the operator for its negligent operation of the dam?
I think there would be there would definitely be some overlap, Your Honor. I haven't thought.
Why wouldn't there be exact overlap? I mean, the damages you would be claiming is the damages for the flooding of your house or your land, I assume. It's the exact same claim that you would be making against the operator for negligent operation. you're just calling it negligent entrustment, which, I mean, look, a negligent entrustment claim requires that you prove the negligent, the negligence of the person that you're entrusting, right? It, like a classic negligent entrustment is like a, I borrow your car, right? So you have to prove that the driver that borrowed the car is negligent, right? So you have to prove that Boyce is negligent to win the negligent entrustment claim against the federal government. And the measure of the damages is are the damages that you would get from the negligence from Boyce. So why isn't that just exactly the same thing? And it would just be out because, just as Judge Thapar said, you're looking at the damages, right?
Yeah, Your Honor, I think that there's a difference. And the way we understand it is it's not a purely vicarious claim for the same, the exact same thing. I mean, this dam was dangerous, and it had significant spillway concerns long before Boyce acquired its license. It was...
But your damages are limited. Okay, so you have a house. The house is damaged. That's what your damages are limited to, correct?
I don't know if they're limited, Your Honor. I'd have to look at Michigan remedies under...
Okay, but assume you get normal consequential damages, right? They would be the same whether you're suing the operator for negligent operation or the government for negligent entrustment.
Yeah, I guess my answer is I don't know, without researching the law of damages and remedies as it would apply to this tort, whether there might be some damages against the party who entrusts as opposed to the damages caused by the party to whom
it challenges. Let's not talk about special damages provisions. Assume Michigan has ordinary consequential damage law. You agree the consequential damages of the operation and the entrustment are the same?
I could see that happening, yes, Your Honor. Yes. Yes.
I think this is another way of asking the same question. But the statute itself refers to damages occasioned to the property of others by the construction, maintenance, or operation of the project works. So weren't the damages occasioned by the construction, maintenance, or operation? Forgetting about the source of the government's liability that you assert, but the damages were occasioned by the construction, maintenance, or operation of the work, right?
Without discovery, Your Honor, and without being a geologist or a dam engineer, I'm not exactly certain that that has been established. I mean, there were pre-existing dangers.
I thought you asserted it in the complaint. Did you not?
I think it's pleaded among several alternate causes, Your Honor. But I think that discovery would have to establish which aspect of the dam, or the project works, or the works appurtenant or accessory to the dam, actually led to the ultimate failure. Right. I know that the part of the works in that are most suspect was the spillway capacity, which is a problem that preceded the licensing of the dam by FERC to Boyce. I'm not trying to evade the question. I think it's an open factual question at this point. But a more capable operator would have been more likely to find and fix the condition and operate the dam safely.
So that would be arising out of the maintenance.
Right, Your Honor. But the limitation, the limiting clause or the qualifying clause constructed under the license also has a lot of meaning here, and that's the other part of our argument. The statute says that each licensee shall be liable for all damages occasioned to the property of others by the construction, maintenance, or operation of the project works or of the works appurtenant or accessory thereto constructed under the license. And the...
So in paragraph 61, just to come back, it says Boyce's repeated recalcitrance, unwillingness, or inability to repair, operate, and maintain the dam in a safe manner caused the dam to collapse. Right?
Correct, Your Honor. And if the dam had been entrusted to a capable operator instead of to an incapable one,
I understand, but if Boyce's conduct or failure to manage and operate the dam properly that caused it to collapse, that then caused the damage.
That's right. The same as if I were to give the keys to my vehicle to, a dangerous driver.
You initially had a claim against Boyce, right? They went bankrupt?
We have not filed a lawsuit against Boyce.
I'm sorry, what?
We have not filed a lawsuit against Boyce. Our clients have filed proof of claims in the bankruptcy court against Boyce. Yeah, that's correct, Your Honor. But the meaning of the term constructed under the license limits the licensee's liability. But in the
do you agree that my understanding is that FERC licenses project works. They don't license projects. Is that right?
That's right. That's in the statute.
And they also license works appurtenant, but not all works appurtenant.
No, works appurtenant are defined as being part of the project works, I think under Section 797 of this.
But is it all works appurtenant? My understanding is that there are different, that some works appurtenant may be licensed and maybe there aren't licensed.
That's beyond the scope of my knowledge of the statute, Your Honor.
But isn't that important to understand whether that phrase would apply only to appurtenant works as opposed to project works? I mean, to both of them?
Yeah, if you were to sort of disaggregate the language and read it as separate statements in the statute, but we read it as a single integrated clause.
Well, I understand that you read it that way, but I'm just trying to understand what the logic would. There might be a logic to reading it to apply to one and not the other. If not all works appurtenant are licensed, and you're trying to specify that the ones that are licensed are the ones that fall within the clause.
Yeah,
that would be the way to do it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, theoretically that would be, but my understanding of the statute is that works appurtenant or accessory are defined by statute to be part of the project works, which are all covered by the same license. Your Honor, I see my time is up. I'll resume at rebuttal. Thank you.
You'll have your full rebuttal.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Zach Toomey on behalf of Defendant United States.
Can you either move the mic or your voice up, please?
Sorry. Zach Toomey on behalf of Defendant United States. Is that better?
I still have it. Maybe it's just me, but
I'll speak louder. So I want to begin with plaintiff's negligent entrustment claim, and just at the outset, clarify. Negligent entrustment doesn't apply in this case because the FERC did not entrust the dam to Boyce Hydro. As the facts of the case demonstrate, Boyce Hydro owned the dam regardless of the FERC license. The FERC only entrusted them a license to generate hydroelectricity, and the generation of hydroelectricity caused no harm in this case. The FERC revoked Boyce's license in 2018.
Let me take something outside. If you generate simple electricity, if you negligently entrust an operator to generate electricity and someone gets harmed, you're saying that subsequent harm isn't a result of the negligent entrustment? I'm not sure I follow.
It would be if the harm arose from the generation of electricity, but here the harm was from the maintenance and operation of the dam.
So if you're generating electricity, go back to just normal electricity, you got to maintain the lines as part of it, and
yep.
You negligently don't. Why is, if we know you're a buffoon, like they allege basically Boyce was, why isn't that enough?
Well, I just want to go back to the nature of a negligent entrustment claim. Again, all of the physical structures of the project were always owned by Boyce. The FERC did not entrust them with anything other than the ability to use the structures that they already owned. So that's not...
Could they have done so without a license?
No, they can't generate hydroelectricity, but they own the dam. So in this case, after the FERC revoked the order, Boyce Hydro continued to own and operate the dam, except for the power plant, for the next 18 months. And that was true before... as well. It's not directly relevant to the legal issue before the court. I just want to state from the outset, the FERC did not give Boyce Hydro the dam. Boyce Hydro owned the dam independently. Regarding their argument that their negligent entrustment claim does not fall within the provision of 803C. Your Honor's questioning got to the point of that argument. The statute speaks in terms of damages. It says each licensee hereunder shall be liable for all damages occasioned to the property of others. So the plain language of the statute focuses on the damages sought. Plaintiff's complaint, the plain language of their complaint, provides the other half of the analysis.
Their argument is we're not seeking damages for construction, maintenance, or operation. We're seeking damages for negligent entrustment, which isn't included in here.
But they are seeking seeking compensation for damage to their property. And that's explicitly stated in their complaint. And that's exactly the kind of damage that the provision in explicitly occasioned to the property, damages occasioned to the property.
I mean, I agree with you, but I don't think it's just property. I think it has to be occasioned by the construction, maintenance, or operation of the project.
That's correct. And their complaint explicitly explains how the negligent maintenance by Boyce Hydro occasioned the damage to their property. So the plain text of the statute...
Do you agree that the whole dam is the project? Or are you saying that only the hydroelectric portion is the project?
So the Federal Power Act allows the FERC to license projects and accessory and appurtenant works thereto. So the primary part of a project would be the embankments, the reservoir, and the power plant. Accessory and appurtenant works are those structures that serve the Act's secondary purposes, which would typically be purely local concerns like recreation, flood control, irrigation, preservation of wildlife.
But I thought you licensed project works, not a project. In other words, the project works are the buildings and the structures, but not the... It's not like the dam project gets licensed. It's the project works that get licensed and the works appurtenant get licensed. Is that right?
Well, if you look at the 1998 FERC order that licensed the Edenville Dam...
I'm just talking about the statute.
Well, so the FERC order is a good example of what the statute allows the FERC to license. And in that order, it licensed the project works relating to the generation of hydropower, the dam, the reservoir, the power plant. And also, it ordered Boyce to construct appurtenant structures for the purposes of recreation and preservation of fish and wildlife, because none existed at the time of licensing. And so those were going to be, if you look at the 1998 order, it says we're going to make you submit plans for the development of boat ramps and docks and fishways, and then you were going to license those structures when you construct them.
Are there works appurtenant that are not licensed?
Yes. So
that would explain why you might have the qualifier in one part of the statute and not in the other one.
That's correct. The license specifically, usually by incorporation. So in order to get a license, you have to submit an application that that contains detailed plans, specifications, and diagrams of everything on the project property. And the license will say, these are the things on these diagrams that are licensed, and then it'll incorporate those in the license itself. There are appurtenant works that are not licensed, and those are the ones that either that the FERC finds are not appropriately related to the Act's primary and secondary purposes. Turning to plaintiff's argument about the Skokomish case, they have repeatedly argued that the en banc Ninth Circuit was not aware that the Cushman project, which was the dam at issue in Skokomish, was not constructed under a license. This is refuted by the en banc opinion itself. In Section 1B, which is a unanimous portion of the opinion, the Ninth Circuit addresses plaintiff's claim, which was a negligent licensing claim, very similar to the claim that plaintiffs are making in this case. It repeats the entire text of the second sentence of 803C, and then it finds that the statutory language is clear.
Did you find that reasoning lacking, though? I mean, it didn't deal with any of the arguments we're now grappling with.
I think it is a straightforward approach to applying the statute, and I don't think it was... I don't think much more is necessary. It is a broad immunity provision, and it prevents the government from being held liable for damages caused
by... I find it a little confusing. I mean, I don't find it that easy to figure out what this means. Constructed under the license, your friend has a comma argument. They have other arguments. It makes it difficult to think about, and it seems like the Ninth Circuit just flew right through it, with all due respect to them.
I do. I don't think it's... I think because it was the en banc Ninth Circuit, it was a unanimous portion of the opinion, and after they have reviewed the exact argument that plaintiffs are making, the full text of 803C, and then in footnote 4 explicitly recognized that the Cushman project was not constructed under a license, and if you look at the Federal Reporter image of the Skokomish opinion, footnote 4, the text of footnote 4, appears directly below the discussion of 803C. It's on the same page, and it's the very next portion of text in the opinion. And I agree that the Ninth Circuit did not go into great detail about applying it, but that is a testament to the clarity of the plain language of the statute. The constructed under a license, if you read 803C, which is a provision that consists of two sentences that must be read together, and it's important to read them together because they were drafted together and enacted together. The first sentence imposes every possible duty, responsibility, and liability on the licensee. It makes no distinction for when the dam was constructed or not. And then that is followed by the liability provision, which imposes, in the broadest possible terms, all liability for all damages occasioned by any activity that you can do with a dam, construction, maintenance, or operation, and imposes that liability on the licensee. It is followed by the phrase, or the works appurtenant or accessory thereto, and then it is limited by the phrase constructed under a license. Now, the constructed under a license is a recognition of the limits of the Commerce Clause, as we discussed in our brief. It applies only to the works or appurtenant or accessory thereto, and it does so in the same way that the same phrase is modified in Section 814 of the statute. The only other place in the statute where the phrase works appurtenant or accessory thereto appears is in Section 814, the eminent domain provision. That provision allows licensees to obtain property and rights of way through the use of eminent domain. In that section, the statute uses the terms dam, reservoir, diversion structures, or works appurtenant or accessory thereto. It's immediately followed by a comma, and it's immediately followed by an interstate commerce nexus. It says the works or accessory, appurtenant or accessory thereto, may be obtained through eminent domain in conjunction with a project that the FERC finds benefits navigable waters or interstate commerce. And to go further into the interstate commerce, there is very good reason to believe, in addition to the both phrases in Section 803 and 814, immediately works appurtenant or accessory thereto, followed by an interstate commerce nexus. You also have the definition section, which is incorporating the definition of navigable waters from a Supreme Court case from Gibbons versus Ogden, because as the court knows, navigable waters are not included in the Commerce Clause. That's a creation of the Supreme Court. You also have Section 814, the rate-making provision, which prevents electricity generators from charging different rates to residents of different states. And it includes a non-discrimination provision.
Do you agree? Sometimes the statute says works appurtenant, or I guess it's in only those two provisions. Sometimes it says appurtenant works. Is that the same thing?
Yeah, it uses the words miscellaneous, appurtenant, accessory, appurtenant works, or works appurtenant or accessory thereto. But the specific phrase works appurtenant or accessory thereto only appears twice, that full phrase.
I understand that. Yeah. Does it mean something different than if it just says appurtenant works and structures like it does in the definition of project? Is that the same thing?
You mean, are you talking about Section 796?
Yeah. 796.11.
Right. It's referring to the same thing.
So works appurtenant and appurtenant works is the same thing?
I believe so, Your Honor.
I mean, it sounds like a silly question, but I mean, it's Congress, so I'm trying to figure it out.
Yes, I believe so. And I think in 796, it's specifically, there's a parenthetical that defines those as navigation structures, which are further defined in Section 804 as locks, booms, sluices, which again, historically speaking, would be the kind of thing that the state would generally construct, not a private licensee. Finally, I just want to address the overall approach. You know, the government's argument is that the plain language of the statute favors its reading. The plain language of the statute must be read in context, and the Federal Power Act imposes, in several sections throughout the Act, imposes all duties, costs, and responsibilities on the licensee with no distinction between when the dam was constructed. That can be seen in 803A, the first sentence of 803C. Can also be seen in 804, which imposes the cost of constructing these waterway navigation structures on the licensee. It can be seen in Section 811, which imposes the cost of constructing fishways and other structures to preserve wildlife on the licensee. Section 814 imposes costs on the licensee to obtain the property and the rights of way. And then finally, in 803E, the licensee even has to bear the cost of its own regulation. It must pay annual charges to the FERC and to fish and wildlife agencies to reimburse them for the costs of regulating the dam. So all possible costs throughout the FPA and all responsibilities and all liabilities are imposed on the owner for a good reason. Because when Congress was granting this power to grant these licenses to private owners, they were going to generate substantial private income from the use of a public waterway that would be exclusive for a period of decades. These licenses can be granted up to 50 years. And as the 1998 FERC order shows, Boyce Hydro, from the Edenville Dam, which was one of four on the same river that the same owner owned, the Edenville Dam generated $450,000 in profit. That's not net income, that's profit every year. And so in return for this tremendous financial private benefit to the licensees, the Act imposes all of the other costs and liabilities on them. If Your Honors have no further questions. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Your Honors, I'd like to pick up briefly where my opposing counsel left off. Boyce Hydro was formed by some wealthy inheritors, cousins who inherited a fortune. They weren't interested in owning the embankment at the Tobacco and Tittabawassee Rivers in mid-Michigan for any other reason than to try to make money by using it for hydroelectric power generation. The obtainment of a license and the entrustment of a license by FERC to Boyce was the core reason why they wanted the dam in the first place. And what we haven't discussed here today...
But the government's point is that didn't entrust them with the dam. They own the dam and entrusted them with creating hydroelectricity, and that was over 18 months before anything ever happened.
That's true, Your Honor, but they should not have been entrusted with that with that responsibility.
With the hydroelectricity responsibility?
That's correct.
But that ceased 18 months before, so their point is, how can you hold them even liable? Even assuming you could, how can you hold them liable for that when that ceased 18 months before anything happened?
Because, well, as we know, FERC has admitted that before issuing these licenses, it is supposed to go through a sort of rigorous screening process to determine the financial capability and expertise of the company to take over the operation.
What's it supposed to do when it determines that they aren't?
Well, it can do, its powers are limited. It can revoke the license.
What it did, right?
Which I think anyone looking at if they had done the due diligence, they would have seen revoking this party's license to operate this dam was inevitable. I mean, they were completely...
Boyce still had the dam. That's the government's point.
Right.
Regardless of that, Boyce has the dam breaks, and everything happens.
Well, we can argue what would have happened from there theoretically, but, you know, it's also possible that the state jurisdiction would have kicked in at an earlier time and stopped the catastrophe from happening. That's also possible as well. Or that Boyce would have been not had the motivation or the will to take the dam in the first place if FERC wasn't so willing to entrust it with a highly profitable license to generate hydroelectric power. Your Honor, in response to their grammatical interpretation, both parties agree that the phrase constructed under the license limits something. Their interpretation is that it only modifies the last antecedent, which is works appurtenant or accessory thereto. But if that is the case, if that's truly the case, then the government would be immune where there are works appurtenant or accessory that were constructed under the license causing damage.
Wouldn't it make sense? When they passed the Federal Power Act, dams were in place. These things were in place. You would have to wait 30 years for the immunity to kick in under your scenario. Because, or some long amount of time, because they'd have to be constructed under the license.
Yeah, the legislative history makes clear that what they were trying to do was incentivize the construction of new dams.
But what the government points out, legislative history is what it is for those who care. But the government points out there's legislative history going the opposite way.
Well, there's no legislative history saying that they did not want to incentivize the construction of new dams. That was clearly.
It was part of it, but I mean, the government, towards the end of their brief, points out that there's also legislative history going the other way.
That's true.
Where does it take you that they were trying to incentivize the building of new dams?
Because if the licensee, in exchange for the license, accepts liability for its own acts,
right.
if it constructs and it causes damages, it's liable. If it maintains and operates what it constructs, it's liable. But if the dam wasn't constructed under the license, they don't inherit all of the liability of the predecessors that may have done so without doing it under the license.
Okay, so why would it include the word operates or maintenance?
Because those are the actions of the licensee under the license.
But you're saying their liability was only if the dam was built under the license.
Right. That's exactly right. Because FERC would have, under its licensing and regulatory authority, gone through the steps, and we indicate this in our brief, that would ensure the indicia of safety, including compliance with the safety regulations of FERC in the course of complying with the license conditions.
But is the current operator of a non-licensed dam, are they liable under normal state tort law? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I believe they would be.
Under state law.
The current operator of a non-FERC licensed dam would be liable under state law.
A FERC licensed dam that was built before it was licensed. Are they liable under the statute?
They're liable. No, of a FERC licensed dam. No, there's preemption, and they are immune from suit, provided that they are in compliance with FERC safety regulations.
I'm sorry. The operator of a FERC licensed dam that wasn't built under a license, you're saying, is not liable under this section. They're liable under what?
They have immunity because FERC, the FPA preempts state law. We argue this in our brief, as long as they are compliant with the safety regulations of FERC.
Okay, and if they're not compliant with the safety regulations?
Then the statute would preserve state tort liability against them.
The statute. What statute?
803C. The purpose of 803C.
But it doesn't apply unless it was built under a license, is what you're saying.
Right. I missed that part of you. I'm sorry, that part of your hypothetical.
So,
but if they come in and under the license they construct new things or build new things, then they're liable for their own acts. We're not saying that FERC would become vicariously liable for them.
Okay, just hypothetically.
Yeah.
What under this situation, what do you contend Boyce's liability is?
Boyce's liability well, with reference to the statute.
With reference to the statute and anything else, what would Boyce's liability be?
Boyce's liability would be if its own independent acts, not compliant with the safety requirements of its license, cause damages, then Boyce would be liable for that consistent with
under the what provision and or state law or whatever? What
under state law as a tortfeasor.
Okay, and not under this section.
Right. But the question here is whether the constructed under the license limits the scope of the government's immunity. I mean, under their interpretation, the government...
It's not just the government. Isn't it also the licensee that it affects?
Correct. It does affect them. But the issue here is whether the immunity of the government is complete. And under their interpretation, the government would not be immune from works appurtenant or accessory that were not constructed under the license.
Okay, but under your interpretation, I just want to make sure I understand. Under your interpretation, in enacting this provision, Congress did not intend to hold licensed operators liable unless the dam was built under a license.
I think the statute was concerned with one thing primarily, which was to clarify that if you obtain a license, you cannot use your license to escape liability under state tort law for actions that you take under the license. That's what I think the purpose of the statute was. And we cite a case for that premise, which is Seaboard Airline Railroad 280 F. 2nd 873 at 875 and 876. Stating that the provision is intended to preserve state law tort claims against licensees for damages caused by those activities and disclaims liability on the part of the United States for the acts of the licensee.
Okay. Do you agree that this statute, however it applies the same way to the license operator and the United States? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So if constructed under the license applies to the whole provision, this section imposes no liability on an operator of a dam that was not built under the license.
This statute in itself does not create a cause of action against anyone. It simply preserves state court liability against a license holder and provides that if the license holder, if they are sued for their own liability, cannot say, well, I have a license and therefore I'm immune.
Okay.
And there's a specific preemption provision?
There's a preemption provision elsewhere in the statute.
That would operate if this provision didn't exist.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. The case will be submitted. Thank you all.